Welcome, friends, to Ecclesiastes 11, the B-side. Both chapter 11 and chapter 12 end with a reminder of God's final judgment. Here in chapter 11, verse 9, "You who are young, be happy while you are young, and let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart, and whatever your eyes see. But know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment." It's a fascinating contrast in directives there. Be happy, follow your heart, but know God will judge. Chapter 12 ends, and with it the entire book of Ecclesiastes, with these words, "Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil." Judgment is a central theme here in the conclusion to Solomon's observations, and for good reason. It changes our perspective on everything that came before. As Solomon looks back on all the toil and frustration of life and on everything done under the sun and asks what was gained, he recognizes that God is the final judge of all our works. "And God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil." And knowing that truth can really change the way you look at life and how you live. A great friend of mine at church shared her salvation story. Sarah spent much of her life living for today, following her heart, come what may. And that meant plenty of sin. One day, her 20-something son came home with the shocking news, "Mom, I'm born again." He gave his heart to Jesus. He went to an event, heard the gospel, and he got right with God. Sarah was hungover in bed. "Mom, do you know where you'll go when you die?" She knew. "I'm going to hell. I'm going to party in hell with my friends." Then her son surprised her. "No, Mom, it doesn't work that way." And he described a scene that the preacher had laid out for him. Judgment Day. A big screen shows everything you've ever done for the whole world to see. Everything said, thought, or done. And all your friends see it. Sarah said, "No, that can't happen." So he shared the gospel with his mom. "Jesus died for your sins. If you put your faith in Jesus, they are washed away, cast into the depths of the ocean, as far as the east is from the west, and never to be seen on the big screen." And Sarah got started following Jesus that very moment. And I can attest that Sarah is a different person. Her life is changed, faithful to friends and family, and a real gift to our church. The question is, does Judgment Day really happen that way? In the Bible, is that how it goes down? So let's take a quick look at the Bible verses that describe Judgment Day. I can tell you, the Bible does not describe a big screen TV. I think that preacher was coloring in the lines to paint a more vivid picture. But the basic principle is accurate. God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil, which means that your choices matter. How you treat people matters. What you do when no one's looking matters. And none of your excuses or cover-ups will hold on that day. Now, Judgment Day is real for everyone, but we need the rest of the Bible for the whole story here. God's final judgment is described several times in the Bible. We have certainty on several elements from the Bible texts, along with some debate among scholars as to exactly when and how it all happens. I'll give you a quick overview, and you can write down the chapters so you can head there for a complete study when we're done. Revelation 20 describes judgment at the great white throne. That's at the very end of the Bible, and it happens after the story of life on earth is done, even after the millennium. The dead from all of history are gathered before the great white throne, and the books are opened. These books appear to be God's record of every life, including every hidden thing. And another book is opened, the Lamb's Book of Life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done. Now, the Book of Life is God's own record of all who put their faith in Jesus Christ for salvation, and the names were written there from the foundation of the world. Amazing. All those whose names were in the book of life receive eternal life. Those whose names are not found there are judged for their deeds and are thrown into the lake of fire. Hell is a difficult subject, but understand clearly that hell is consistently described in the Bible as people getting exactly what they deserve for exactly what they've done. It is absolutely fair and just based on your deeds. You have two choices: get exactly what you deserve or get forgiven, justice or grace. No one gets worse than they deserve. That puts the fear of God in me. Again, it's called the Great White Throne Judgment. However, there are two other judgments spoken of in the Bible, though scholars debate whether all three descriptions actually describe the same occasion, or if they happen all together. In Matthew 25, Jesus describes a judgment wherein he sits on his throne and separates the sheep from the goats. The sheep are his true followers, and they are invited to inherit the kingdom prepared for them from the foundations of the world, while the goats are cast out. Now, some scholars believe that this sheep and goats judgment takes place before the millennium at the second coming of Christ, so that believers are welcomed in to the millennial kingdom. Others believe it is yet another view of the white throne judgment. Again, you can find it in Matthew 25. And finally, the Bema Seat. 1 Corinthians 3, 2 Corinthians 5, and Romans 14 describe a judgment for believers only, called the Bema Seat. This one is different. It is not about salvation nor about sin. It is all about rewards for our works, not about justice for sins. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Bema Seat refers to a Roman judgment seat, something New Testament readers at the time would have been familiar with. There at the Bema Seat, our works, as Christians, will be tested by fire to see if they survive. 1 Corinthians 3 pictures it as a house built on the foundation stone of salvation. Jesus provides the foundation. You build the house. Your works are the building materials for the house. And at the judgment, it's all tested by fire. Whatever survives the fire means reward for you. Your salvation is safe. That's the foundation, a gift from Jesus. But your works are tested. 1 Corinthians 3:12 says, "If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved. So what makes some works gold and others wood or hay? It's not clear, but I think it's faithfulness. Were you genuine? Was your faith and love for real? Did you do good deeds for applause or earthly reward, or out of love? God knows, of course, and he will judge, and he will reward. Again, no punishments are described here. Your sin is gone. But several verses describe crowns that will be awarded. Many of these verses use imagery that we would liken most to the ancient Olympics. Here, Christ is not a courtroom judge, but the judge of a race, your life. And several verses describe crowns awarded for the race that was run. And when God awards you the crown of righteousness, the crown of life, the crown of glory, the crown of rejoicing, I don't pretend to know exactly what that will look like, but I think it will be awesome. And I am convinced that God's rewards will be well worth the struggle. So I am determined to fight the good fight and finish the race well. James 1 tells us, "Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him." Now, exactly when and where the Bema Seat judgment will take place is debated. Some say it's right after the rapture, first thing in heaven. Others tie it together with the White Throne Judgment. I think it's separate from the White Throne, but I'm not sure when. But you can dig in and research that for yourself. Again, find more detail in Matthew 25, Revelation 20, 1 Corinthians 3, and 2 Corinthians 5. And thanks for taking the journey with me. And if I don't catch you before, see you on Judgment Day. I hope it's a good day for both of us. Seriously.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.